This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
This is Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. It's been a long year for Diamond Aircraft after the insolvency of Thielert Aircraft Engines caused all kinds of inconvenience for customers of Diamond's diesel-powered aircraft. The burden started to lift this week with the welcome news that the European Aviation Safety Agency has certified the Diamond DA42NG with Diamond's own Austro engines. Diamond's Peter Maurer says making the engines available as retrofits is the next priority.
So what does this mean for people that already own a DA42?
For people that already own a DA42, the good news is that we always plan to do a upgrade from the current DA42 to the Austro engines. This was part of the Austro engine program from the beginning. So the initial certification we received is, of course, for the DA42NG, the next generation, which is newly produced aircraft, but immediately we also started the certification process of a service bulletin to retrofit existing delivered aircraft, of which there are over 500 worldwide, with the Austro engine, if customers want to do so.
Okay, what's the timeline for, first of all, the certification for the new aircraft in North America, and second of all, how long do you think after that it will be, the retrofits will be available?
That's a good question. I don't 100% know the answer to that myself, but I can give you a best guess. The first thing that has to happen is that the foreign countries have to validate the engine itself, the AE300. So we've made application to different airworthiness authorities, and each national airworthiness authority where the aircraft is ultimately going to be certified also needs to certify the engine. In fact, that is a precursor to the aircraft being certified. So we've got in each country two things that need certification. One, the engine itself, because it has its own type certificate, and then the airplane with that engine installed. Typically, this is done as a validation of the EASA certifications because of bilateral agreements that the airworthiness authorities have with them. And as such, in some countries, it'll be a very simple process. In other countries, it could be more complicated depending on how detailed the national authority wants to familiarize themselves with the certification process of the engine specifically. Certainly, the AE300 is a modern engine. It has some what the airworthiness authorities refer to as unusual and novel design features, and in some cases, that will trigger a more detailed review. So it really depends a lot on the level, the depth of the review that the airworthiness authority will do, what the schedule is. If it's a simple validation, then it's a paperwork exercise. That would be one extreme, and that could take only a few months. And if it's a detailed technical review, then it really depends on the available technical resources of that airworthiness authority, and then it could drag out longer. In any case, what we're hoping for is that we would be in a position to have certification in North America by Q3 of this year. That's basically a sort of rough guess based on what we've seen in the past. As far as certification of the retrofit, this is something they're working on right now in Europe, and I would expect that to come very shortly as well, in a matter of a few months.
What are the important differences between the Austro engine program and the Thielert experience?
That's a good question. I mean, the first thing we should probably address in terms of what the differences are between the Thielert engine and the Austro engine are the similarities. Both engines are based on the same Mercedes-Benz automotive four-cylinder, two-liter turbo diesel engine. And that's where the similarities stop. Thielert, when he developed his engine, originally based it on the first 1.7-liter engine, and then when Daimler came out with a 2-liter engine, he certified that version as well. In contrast to the Austro engine, the Thielert engine has virtually all Thielert-specific parts. He uses the Mercedes-Benz engine as a basis, but he builds his own crankshaft, he makes his own crankcase, He modifies the cylinder heads, he modifies the pistons. So basically, he's taken a Mercedes engine and done a lot of modifications to it. And that engine is certified in our application to 135 horsepower. It's type certified to 155 horsepower, but nobody has ever put it into service at 155 horsepower. The Austria engine, by contrast, we work together with MB Tech, which is a 100% daughter company of Mercedes-Benz, so that's Mercedes-Benz Technology, MB Tech, and we work together with Bosch. Bosch has actually created a general aviation company that's headquartered in Vienna. We were the impetus to start that company, but Bosch did all of the development of the electronic engine management system. Now, Bosch did the original development for the automotive application, and Mercedes, of course, did the original development for this engine for the automotive application. So our approach, as opposed to Thielert's approach, was to not go it on our own, but to actually involve the people that originally designed the base engine and designed the electric engine management system. So it's more of a factory effort. In terms of technical differences, the main differences are that the Austro engine has a cast iron crankcase. It's heavier, but it's also more durable, and it allows us to run the engine at higher horsepower. The engine is normally rated at 170 horsepower max takeoff. And there are some other technical differences that really come out of our experience of operating over 1,300 Thielert engines worldwide. We have more experience than anybody else operating these engines, having been the first company to really embrace the modern turbo diesel engines. One example is the prop control. It's an integral controller on the Thielert engine, and it turned out to be somewhat troublesome, and we decided to take a low-risk approach, or a technically almost no-risk approach, by incorporating a conventional propeller governor, as you would see on any other engine. And the governor is controlled by an actuator that is in turn controlled by the engine management system. So you still have a single lever throttle in the cockpit, but the actual hydraulic system that controls the propeller is absolutely conventional. We've also used an alternator of higher capacity to allow more electrical system capability. We've made provisions for a automotive-style air conditioning compressor that will be used in some of our models in future. Generally, we've incorporated all of the learning experience that we had on the Thielert engine. One of the most difficult items, and our customers, of course, are aware of it. They've all experienced having to do clutch inspections and repeated clutch replacements on the Thielert engine. The clutch I refer to is between the engine and the gearbox, and it's designed to take out the peak torque pulses of the engine, and is necessary to protect the gearbox. We decided not to go with a clutch system, which is a wearing component, but have actually developed a torsional vibration damper that is designed to last much longer. Our transmission also has, right out of the box, a longer TBO than the Thielert engine currently has. And so everything is designed for longer life, more robustness, and we're really looking forward to seeing how the engine performs in service. We're very confident that it'll have a much higher degree of reliability than the Thielert did.
Maurer says that should all add up to better utility for Diamond's diesel customers. This has been Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.